This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and thanks for joining us on another explosive episode of Baseball Outside the Box, the show that brings you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. And I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hope you are all doing great. Thanks for joining us. We're currently in a very special place. We are on a Caribbean island in a beautiful country of St. Martin. We're on the Dutch side, an area that has a lot of baseball. We have been very lucky to connect with Gabriel Brown and his wife. Gabriel is the director of Pony Baseball here in St. Martin. He has been doing this for a long time. Boy, has he helped a lot of great kids. And we had a chance to go to a ball game, watch these kids play a 3-2 ball game, get a chance to talk to the players. It was a lot of fun, a great day. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of some of the things that we learned about from Gabriel and also from some of the players. So currently, we're going to get started with the show. But before we do, you remember, we're always on Facebook Live. But because we're in St. Martin, we were not able to connect on Facebook Live. So this episode would only be on baseballoutsidethebox.com. And please, if you're a new listener, do us a favor. Go to the website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Register under iTunes or Stitcher. That way you'll get every show. Every time it comes up, you'll get a notice. And if you love the show as a new listener, you could also do us a favor and give us a 5-star rating there while you're on the iTunes or the Stitcher area. That 5-star rating will help get the show out even more. We've done a great job. We're getting more listeners. We've got a lot of social media. If you're on social media, check us out at Baseball Out. That's our Twitter. We got a lot of information. There are a lot of tips, videos, all kinds of stuff. And it's a great way for you guys, for our audience, to communicate with myself. And of course, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. Check it out. Now, special show. We don't have any guests this time. We love having guests, but this time we decided that one way to do this would be to give our audience something a little bit more, a little different than we're normally accustomed to. We are going to take you around the world to several countries, and I'm going to give you some tips that I learned with baseball people in those countries. We're going to start off with St. Martin, but then we're going to continue on to some other countries. We're going to talk about some drills, some games. It could be philosophies that we learn that we picked up from, you know, some great coaches and players, and sometimes kids that play the game. You can learn from anybody, and hopefully you're a life learner. You're constantly learning and never satisfied with the knowledge that you have. So let's get it started. Let's start off with St. Martin. During the game in St. Martin, as I'm watching the game, it's the between innings, and I'm seeing the pitcher warm up, and then all of a sudden there's a hitter and they're hitting. And I'm thinking to myself, why is the hitter hitting when the pitcher's warming up? So I asked Gabriel Brown, the director of Pony Baseball there, and he came up with an idea because they have so many players around the bench. The idea was, how can we get them to practice? How can we get them to do something during the game? And because they may not get an at-bat. Well, every pitcher has about 8 pitches between innings. So what they do is they allow hitters that are on the bench to hit during that time. So, and you're going to finish the play. So if you have 8 pitches and the first pitch the guy hits a ground ball, then you finish the play. And that might be, you know, that person's at bat. Now, you still have 7 pitches. Now, the next hitter might use 4 of those pitches. The next hitter might use 2. You could get 2 to 3 hitters possibly, you know, active during between innings. They don't count. They don't count as hits. They don't count as runs or anything. You're just at bats. Oh boy, and that's a great way to interact all your players during the game and make them feel like they're part of it and also get some workout. So I thought that was great. Thanks to St. Martin. Thanks to Gabriel Brown for your hospitality and for your knowledge. That was something that I never knew, and I think that a lot of youth programs can use And it is outside the box, and some people are going to be scared to do that, you know, because it's different. Well, sometimes you have to step outside the box and do something that most people aren't accustomed to wake some people up. And that's what I love about our show. We've always come up with some great ideas. All right, from St. Martin, we're going to take you to Belgium. That was a place where I coached for several years. I was a national team coach for 5 national teams in Belgium. It was a great time in my life. It was an early time in my career. I learned so much. I made so many mistakes, and I think that's why I learned so much, because I made so many mistakes. But during that time, I had a young coach. We're going back, you know, 20 years. I had a young coach by the name of Steve Janssen, who now is one of the managers for the Dutch national teams at 18. He's coached also the senior team in the Pan Am Games, but he recently, in the last 2-3 World Baseball Classics, has been the assistant pitching coach and pitching coach for the World Baseball Classic team. He's one of the best instructors I've been around. At that time, when he was young, he was the best instructor in all over Belgium, but I think not just Belgium, but, you know, Germany and Holland. I really thought he was one of the up-and-coming coaches. And one of the drills that he taught me, and it's in my book, the mistake I made is I forgot to give Steve Janssen credit, so that gives me the ability to give Steve some credit on the drill, and I think it's a great drill. It's a rundown drill, and the rundown drill was to teach young kids how to develop the rundown, how to accomplish the rundown, but not in a game setting yet. So what we would do is we would set up 3 lines, you know, one facing each other, and one person on one end of the line would have a baseball, and they would walk to the other person, and as they're walking, they would throw the ball, and that person would then get it out of the glove, lift, continue walking, they throw it to the next person. And this started the process of understanding how you begin a rundown. Now, obviously, you want kids to sprint, but you have to first learn how to walk and throw a baseball from a 90-degree angle that you're holding up as you're walking. So that's a difficult thing. And then the other thing is, as you're throwing the ball, the other person coming at you, he's walking at you. Now you're learning how to catch a ball as you're walking, which is very difficult to do. So not only is it hard to throw a ball as you're walking, but you're also catching a ball as you're walking. Now, what you do is you speed it up. In the second drill, you're now going to jog. And possibly in the third drill, you're going to sprint and do that. Now you're learning how to do that full speed. And then as you get going, now you have to learn also when to throw it on time and to realize the speed of the runner and to realize the timing behind it. So now what you would do is the person with the ball would sprint. The person receiving the ball, they would walk, or you could have them jog, depending on your philosophy. And, you know, in my perspective, I have the person with the ball make the decision. I don't have the person receiving the ball call for the ball or lift their glove up. I believe the person with the ball has a better chance of, you know, understanding, seeing the speed of the runner, seeing the person in front of them that's going to catch the ball, and make that decision much better when they're going to throw the baseball. I believe when by the time you raise your glove or say now, by the time that's registered, and the timing has to be that much better by the time the person throwing the ball registers it well and then makes the throw. So the next drill would be by running full speed and the other person jogging or walking towards them, that person would then throw the ball. And after they catch it, they have to tag the person throwing. And the point behind it is if I run full speed as a person throwing it and I throw it on time, not too late, not too early, but on time, when they receive the ball and they catch it, if I'm running full speed and the other person's walking or just jogging, they can still catch the ball and tag. So you're working on throwing, catching, and tagging at the same time. So these are great drills that we use. Check out my book. You can get it at Amazon.com. I believe it's on Amazon. It's also on humankinetics.com. It is called Youth Baseball Drills. And that's just a couple drills for rundowns that we incorporated, but you'll see a lot more drills in there. And thank you to Steve Janssen for teaching me that, because that's a drill I use all the time. I also use it as part of our warm-ups. So we do these drills as part of our warm-ups. We don't want to waste warm-ups by jogging, by just doing something that's not game-related or skill-related. So I think that'll help you a great deal. Another one that we now we're going to take you to another part of the world. And we went from St. Martin to Belgium. Now we're going to take you to Cuba, back to the one of the Caribbean islands. And Cuba has some great baseball also, as everybody's aware, as they've seen a lot of major league players now currently in the big leagues from Cuba. And you watch the World Baseball Classic. They've got some great athletes. You're going to see a lot more coming out because a lot of the younger ones are developing. But one of the things that I learned from the Cubans, and not to waste any time also, because practice and games, you want to implement as many things as you can to make your players better, is now we hit ground balls between innings. We don't have our first baseman roll ground balls because the ball doesn't come from first base, and we want more players active. We want more of a natural hit off of a bat. So we have a coach at home plate while our players, you know, pitching eight warm-up pitches or five or whatever the number that you get within your league. Now the coach is hitting ground balls to third base. He's hitting it to short. He's hitting it to first base. And as the first baseman catches the ball, you now have a line of three, four players down the first base line that will be relaying the ball back to you. Now, you're going to have three, four baseballs, so when the first baseman catches it, he's going to throw it to a player down the line. By then, you already hit another ball to the shortstop, and then you hit a ball to the second baseman. You're getting a lot more ground balls, but I would highly recommend first that you do this in practice. And another thing this does is it keeps a lot of players active. You do it in practice, it keeps players active, but also it's more realistic. And you're going to get a lot more ground balls this way than you would as a first baseman rolling ground balls, because you know a lot of players take their time. They're slacking off. They're not motivated. And there's a lot of things you can do in the infield that we'll talk about in another podcast that'll help you with doing more game situations. And an example of that would be when you're doing this drill, you might want all your kids to work on their backhand, or you might want them to work on their forehand, or certain other drills that are more game related. So that took you to Cuba. Now we're going to take you to one of the best baseball countries when it comes to coaching development, and that is Canada, our partner up north. Great baseball people. One of the things I wanted to bring up about the Canadians is that every youth organization, every national organization, every international organization should have one of the best coaches, long-term development programs possible. That should be your first priority, is training your coaches in your league or your country or your national organization. There should be no higher priority. Look, if you don't have good coaching, it's pretty simple. You're not going to have very good players. You're also not going to have players that are excited about playing the game. If players don't get better, they're not going to have fun playing the game. And if you want to get players to play the game, and you're going to go out and recruit players to play the game, then you better have some pretty good coaching to make it innovative, fun, exciting for those kids. And they better know how to run a fun, organized practice. Well, that's why I love Baseball Canada, because they have one of the best educational programs. They're constantly training their volunteer coaches. And remember, the volunteer coaches are the largest coaching-based organizations in the world. There are no more coaches in the world than volunteer coaches. There's not more high school, there's not more college, and there's not more professionals. You can add those three up together, and it still will not give you the most coaches that are the volunteer coaches. So volunteers are the base of our foundation of our sport. So please make sure that you have a great training program for coaches. And that training program should incorporate some field work, classroom work, and some evaluation by other coaches, evaluating coaches and how they're running their practice. And any coaching material that you can give your coaches, that just is an added benefit. And coaches themselves that are volunteers should work daily, and whenever they can get any free time, to make themselves better by educating themselves. And obviously, one of the ways to do it is to listen to our podcast. But another is there's a lot of great baseball podcasts out there. So research, check it out. Send us an email. We'd be glad to give you more information on how to get some great research when it comes to the game of baseball. Now, from Canada, we're going to take you to the Orient. This is a great baseball country. We are going to Japan, where I've spent a lot of time. I have a lot of respect for how the Japanese train. I think they've got some of the best training programs in the world. They are definitely the most disciplined and the most organized when it comes to educating coaches, when it comes to training players. So I really love Japanese baseball. one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was actually two things. We were in the Tokyo Dome just last year, and the professional hitters, they were working on timing and on soft toss and also riding the back leg. What they had is they had a box. It was a wooden box, maybe about a foot tall. And if you're a right-handed hitter, they would stand on that box with their right foot, and they would balance off the left. And if the person was throwing, you know, soft tossing the ball from the side, you know, obviously if you can toss from the front, you have a screen or you have a net, or you have softer baseballs, you know, that's even better tossing from the front. But if you're tossing from the side, you know, now you're working on your timing going downhill a little bit, learning how to ride the back leg, timing it, strengthening it. It's a great drill. And by the way, we will have these drills on our Facebook page, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox.com. We'll have them on there. We'll also have it on our Twitter at Baseball Out. So check both of those out. You're going to see all the drills that I talked about. We're going to start to place them on there. So follow us. If you follow us, you're going to get a lot of great information. The other drill I want to give you that came from Japan was an outfield drill. We talk about all the time, you know, where we have to practice live off the bat for all players, whether you're at the youth level, high school, college, or professional level. You know, it's great that you work on your drills. It's great that you're working on footwork, but sooner or later, you have to implement that as live as possible. Well, one way to implement it is in live batting practice. And the Japanese will take three groups, one in right field, center field, left field, to place a crate next to the player. That's where they're going to place the baseballs. They're not going to throw them back in because they'll collect them, and then once they're done, they'll bring them in to the batting practice coach. But as the ball is being hit, you're going to have, you know, one person in each line. That's their responsibility to go after the ball full blast. So they're working on communication. When that ball's hit, you've got three players reacting to the ball, possibly, or two players. Whoever gets it places the ball into the basket. Now you got three new outfielders. They're constantly rotating and doing game situations. So there's a lot of communication going on. There's a lot of, you know, working on reading the ball off the bat, getting a good jump, constantly moving. It's a great drill. Try to implement it if you can. All right, we are now going to take you to another great baseball country as we go around the world. We're going to take you to Holland. Now, we were in St. Maarten on the Dutch side. We're also on the French side. We'll bring the French into this in our next podcast. But right now, we're going to bring you into Holland, a great baseball country, one of the best in Europe, and actually one of the best around the world. And this is another great baseball country that has one of the better coaches, educational development, long-term programs. So if you follow the countries that have this, we're going to include Australia in that, but we're not going to give you Australia today. But if you include the countries that have educational programs, you're going to see the facts that when you have a good educational program for coaches, you have great baseball players. So now, as we're in Holland, I'm going to take you to two things that I noticed that I learned from Holland. Number one was the ability to teach young kids on a smaller scale. Instead of teaching, you know, the full three bases, having a full game, where sometimes for young kids, they don't touch the ball enough. It's not as exciting. It's not as fun. The Dutch have a game called honkbal, and it's where they have a smaller field. They only use three bases. They use a softer ball, sometimes even a bigger ball, bigger bats. And now you're playing 4-on-4. You're playing 5-on-5. This is the way to get kids to be more active in the game, to enjoy the game. Because a lot of times, you know, in a regular game of baseball, you're standing around waiting for the ball to be hit to you. Well, that's not a whole lot of fun. And then during a whole game, you may get one baseball hit to you, and that's it. Well, that's not a whole lot of fun. What research has found is kids love, and we didn't have to do research on this, but we did it anyways, just to prove a point, that kids love to touch the ball, the puck, the basketball, the soccer ball more often. The more often they touch the hockey puck, the more often they touch the baseball, the more fun they will have playing the game. So this starts at an early age, and it also starts introducing the bases. You may not have all the bases, but you may just have three. So you have a home plate, if you want to call it a first base or a second base, and then back to home. So it makes it a lot more fun. All right. That concludes our show from the beautiful island of St. Maarten. We are so thankful that you joined the show. We took you around the world. Hopefully you enjoyed it. A lot of the different drills and tips that we gave you from traveling the world. That's just a few countries. We're going to be doing this a lot more, spreading the great word of baseball around the world and showing you that there's a lot of great coaches, not just in the U.S., but also around the world. It was great. We started with St. Maarten, a place you need to visit. It's a beautiful country and great baseball. We went on to Belgium, another beautiful country that I was able to be a national coach. It was a great pleasure. Met a lot of great people there. It's a great country to go visit. Then we went on to Cuba, been there 5 times, super people, great baseball, and what a cultural experience. We then continued on to Canada. Well, you know all about Canada, their partners up north. They have some beautiful sites, especially in the Vancouver area, Vancouver Island. BC Baseball there has a great organization. We've done a lot with them. So visit Canada. It's a great country. And again, great baseball. And of course, Japan. I've talked about that many times. One of my favorites because of the great, you know, baseball they have there, competitive, disciplined. They have so much going on. But also, it's a great country to visit. Boy, you want to learn about a lot about organization, about attention to detail. You want to see some beautiful cultural things, temples. There's so much there. Visit Japan. It's a great place. And, of course, we finished off with the beautiful country of the Netherlands, Holland, another super place to be. Not only just great baseball, they have a passion for the game there. They got great coaches, they've got great teachers, they've got a great educational program, as we mentioned, but also what a beautiful country to visit. I mean, you can see so much there. You know, obviously they're famous with their windmills, but it's just a beautiful, their flowers, you name it, they've got everything there, their food, it's outstanding. So visit Holland, it's a great place to go. You'll also learn a lot about baseball once you're there. And don't forget all the drills that you saw or you heard about on the podcast just recently. We'll have those on our Twitter, @BaseballOut. We'll also have it on our Facebook, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox.com. Isn't that great? All the videos of the drills that we talked about. There were, you know, 5, 6 drills that we think you could really utilize within your practices and your games that can really help develop the game a little bit more. So don't forget, go to @BaseballOut Twitter, spread the word about it, spread about, you know, all the drills that we do. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. And don't forget, email me. If you got questions about the videos, I know on a podcast it's hard to understand the drills sometimes, but you'll see the videos. If you don't get a chance to see the videos and you want to ask me questions, email me please at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. We are so thankful you joined us on this great show on international drills around the world, and we are so excited about the next show. We'll tell you about it a little bit. We're going to be interviewing again more people around the world, getting more drills, so stay tuned for that. And remember, coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that love the challenge, the status quo. I am your host, and hopefully you enjoyed the show. Have a great coaching day, and see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.